So 2024, and I'm going to ask if you guys can, maybe David, if you guys can have some graphics ready, like of the number Dalit, and so just a pictorial image that they can put up, you know, just so that I can, I think of Pai and Dalit. Okay, so those two, if they can just have that on the screen, just for the sake of people. So when it comes to prophecy, guys, every prophet is giving different. So there are two types of prophecies that I do for year end. I do our New Year's Eve service where I prophesy and I tell you exactly what, and I ask for a chair up here. I ask for a chair. You guys will not bring me a chair. I need a chair just to lie against, okay? That's all, and there's a reason for that, because I'm going for surgery. So not to sit, but just to lean against. Not a chair like that, my brother, please. Okay, they know what to do there. Thank you, that one is fine. So, where was I now? Every prophet prophesies differently. So what we do is, in New Year's Eve, I say what God is saying, and we crown the year with a name. Say with me, crown. Last week, Sunday evening, and I want to preach to the centurion as well, I spoke about the crowning of the Lord. I'm not going to do it tonight, I'll do it another time, but the crowning of God. That when God crowns you, the anointing rests on you. When He crowns you, it is the Spirit upon. It is something you can feel upon your head. But the moment He crowns you, there's glory and favor that comes to you. Every person around you knows when you are crowned. Listen to me. David was crowned in the midst of his brothers. He was first anointed and then he was crowned. Jesus was first anointed and then he was crowned. Where was he anointed? He was anointed at Jordan. He was crowned in Luke 4:18 when he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." And then the Bible says he left there and he sat on the chair of the King, of the Messiah, who they were waiting for. It was the moment of his crowning that even the monarchy in the UN, in we see the monarchy, especially in Britain, how, and many other places, how there would first be an anointing by the priest, or whatever you call him, of the Anglican Church, or the Church of England, or whatever it is, the bishop, or whatever they call them. But there's an anointing with oil on the head before the crown can come on it. Meaning that God first anoints a person, then he crowns a person. And when he crowns you, your name changes. Meaning Jacob was crowned at Bethel. And he was changed from Jacob to Israel, which means prince with God. Are you guys with me? So a lot of people are waiting for crowns in heaven. Listen, there are crowns on the earth. The Bible says a rich man's crown is his wealth. Okay, you are dead this morning. I understand. If you miss visitors or you don't know what's going on, you're looking around. Or you just not in the mood for me. Say with me, I want to be crowned. When the crowning of the Lord comes on you, the Bible says the crown of a rich man is his wealth. In fact, it says the crown of the wise is his wealth, I think it is. Or the rich man, the wise of the rich man is his wealth. Meaning that money can be a crown. Meaning that when God crowns you, there's money that comes. The Bible says the Gentiles shall come after your light, which means after your crowning. The kings and the princes and the wealth of the Gentiles shall come after your crowning. They shall look to see who has been crowned. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Herod knew the next Messiah and the king was born, and he said we need to go look for him because he knew a crown came into the earth. Pharaoh knew a crown came into the earth. And he said, we need to kill Moses. Come on, are you guys with me? Right now, Jesus took the crown of thorns so that you and I don't have to, but that we can take a royal crown or a diadem upon our lives. Because he's the firstborn of many brethren. We are conformed into his image. You are made kings and priests. When you carry a crown, every word you speak, where the word of a king is, there is power. Simple. Are you guys with me? Have your seats. So what are we doing? Everything I and purpose to do at Encounter is to get people to a place where they can get crowned. The moment they get crowned, they get into their purpose. Whether it is to plant a church, or whether it is to be in business, whether it is to be a medical doctor, but to be the one that they are supposed to be in the will of God. A lot of people follow their own wills, but there's a will of God for your life. That the moment when He crowns you, trust me, everyone around you will know you're crowned. Your countenance change. Your eyes are full of light. When you walk in a place, the devil knows you have been crowned. The devil knows your authority. The devil knows you are a prince with God. Are you guys with me? So we prophesy on the New Year's Eve and we give the word of the Lord and we crown the year. We name the year. We crown the year and we do that according to what God is saying. I never, almost never do that according to the Hebraic Jewish number. So because the Hebraic Jewish year number is also on God's calendar and is what God works towards, I do that on September. Usually every year September we preach a message on what God is saying according to the Jewish calendar, because the Jewish calendar is not the Gregorian calendar. Gregorian calendar is the 20, 24, 23, 22, but the Jewish calendar is 5784, 5783, and so on. And it is the timetable by which God works. It's the years from Adam, not exactly, actually we're very behind. I think it's supposed to be 5900, I think so, or close to 6000. But if you really work it out, but according to what they can do, we are on the year of 5784. It is God's timetable, it is God's calendar, and it is, even the watchers in heaven watch that calendar. Are you guys with me? Because no angel in heaven even knows when the day is, when the Lord will return. So the watchers in heaven has to watch the calendar, because that calendar will depict the returning. And that calendar is connected to the stars. And the stars will be signs in the heavens. Not astrology, but there'll be signs to you in the heavens of seasons that are shifting and seasons that are changing. So the year 5784. That is where we're entering right now, 5784. Well, we have entered into it on Thursday night, I believe, Thursday night, 5784. And if I have the chair here, that's just, I'm just usually want to lean against it just because I'm going to go for surgery around December maybe. And because it just relaxes a little bit where I need surgery. So what makes 5784 very special is, it's similar to 2020, which was 5780. Let me explain. 2020 was 2020, so it was 0022, which came to 4 as well. And now we have 2024, which is 22, which is also 4. And you have another 4, which means you have double 4. Similar to double 4. 2024. It's very important to remember that, connected to the number 5784. Whenever there's a double, it is God making a very strong emphasis on something. When I say double, I'm speaking of 2024. 2 is 4 plus the 4, and that is 8, but it's 4, so it's 2024. So God speaks through numbers. I have done a whole series on it, a teaching on it. God speaks through, especially when it comes to Hebrew, when it comes to the Jewish calendar. Everything, even in Scripture, is taken out of numbers. So let me get into it. I want to get into the information and then what God is saying. So I want us first to look at the number 80. Say with you, 80. So 5784. 80 from the 84, 5784. So we first have a look at the number 80. 80 is the decade we just entered into, which started in 2020. It's the decade of pay, which means a mouth and to speak and to prophesy. Meaning it is the decade of prophets to prophesy. Are you guys with me? It also speaks of a hidden word that is in the mouth. Because the pictogram of pay has a hidden Hebrew letter in there called bet, B-E-T. Are you guys not having the pictures ready as I talk about it, or what's happening in the back? I'm just going on if it's not ready. Oh, is it here? That looks horrible. What are they doing here? Put it on this stuff, guys. Put it on this, maybe on this projector screens, or make it bigger or whatever. So what you will see is Pay. Now it's away. Pay. Here we go. Dear Lord Jesus, give me patience, kindness, goodness, loving, long-suffering. So this is pay, which is 80. But inside here, this white here, is what we call bet. So there's a hidden bet in pay. So Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet. Those are the Hebrew calendar alphabet. Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet. We are now, Dalet is 4, which means door. Are you guys with me? It doesn't mean open door, it means door. So 5, 7, 8, 4. So when you have Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Bet. Aleph is the Father, Bet is the Son, Gimel is the Holy Ghost, Dalet is the door. Which means that it speaks of a door of heaven that once it's opened, you enter into a realm where the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is. But there's now Bet, so Bet is the Son. So there's a small son in the mouth of Pei, which Pei means mouth. Son is the word of God, which means that the word of prophecy that is in your mouth that needs to be spoken. That is why at 2020, which was 5780, when the decade of pay came into play, is that what did they do? They put masks over your mouth. It is nothing evil that the government might have done. They had no choice. They had to abide by the Jewish. Are you guys with me? Because this is speaking about the word being hidden in your mouth, actually. So God had to do something to say, I want your mouth to be shut and for the word to be hidden in your mouth. There's a season. Because listen to me. I don't know if you guys understand what I'm saying. The decade before 80 was 70, which was Ayin. Ayin is the eye to see. So God is saying you have seen your destiny, but before you can speak it, it must mature in your mouth. And then when you get to the decade of 5780, which is now the decade of the mouth, from the eye to the mouth, now you begin to speak it once it has matured and been hidden in your mouth. So what happened 2020 is simply a sovereign act to display that God is not lying when it comes to numbers, and He knows exactly what is going on, and man is simply a chess piece in this game called life. Listen to me. Are you guys with me? Have your seats. So 80 is the decade of prophets. It means mouth speaking, breath, prophecy. Number four. So we have 80, and then number four is Dalet. This one here is Dalet. Dalet is a door. Are you guys with me? But there's more emphasis put upon this part, which is the lintel. And door. I'm not going to get too much into it. I want to get into the message. But I'm just going to throw out some things for you. The poor and the rich walk through it. Dalet depicts lowliness and awareness of having nothing of oneself. So when the Hebrews would see that, the Jewish nation would see that, Jews would read that, they would read and see, and it means that it speaks of lowliness and awareness of having nothing of oneself. It's an entryway that relates to the decision to embrace our dreams or forsake them. It shifts realms. It shifts you into another realm. It is a portal. Dalet allow angels to enter and to exit. Are you guys with me? Dalet is also the beginning letter of the word dalut, meaning poverty. It's very important to listen, to understand this. It speaks of poverty. Dalet has the shape of a twisted around man, meaning loneliness and openness. Loneliness and openness. Oh, sorry, lowly. Loneliness and openness. Dalet is the importance to understand our total dependence upon God. It speaks of a man bowed down and his dependence being totally upon God. Are you guys with me? So this is the picture in Hebrew. When they would take Gimel, so you have Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet. So you would have Gimel and you have Dalet. But Gemal has a shape. The picture of Gemal is a shape of a man running with his leg extended, close to Dalet. So it looks like an image of a man's leg extended close to Dalet. And it makes the Dalet think psychologically that a rich man, which is Gimel, camel's Gimel, always speaks of prosperity, that a rich man is about to bless him. So you'll understand a bit more right now. Are you guys with me? So what it means is this, that in the temple, say with me, in the temple, there was a room called a room of silence. In that room of silence, only one person can enter into. Either a rich man or a poor man can enter into there. If a rich man enters into that room of silence, they had to give everything or a lot of out of their abundance. They had to give an offering and then they had to leave out. And as they leave out, a poor man would walk in and a poor man can take whatever he needs and then walk out, which speaks of that this year is a year of sowing, but also reaping. It also speaks of reaping where you have not sown. Come on, are you guys with me? And it means that those who are sowing will have such an abundance in their sowing. But where does it happen? Say with you, the temple. Very important to understand that. So have your seats. But they took the amount of money they needed. Dalet letter stands for structure required to get something done. It is also what they don't understand is Dalet at the bottom of the door. Whenever there was a door, there was a lintel even at the bottom, a step that would stop stormwater from going in. It's called a threshold. So whenever you would hear that at the threshing floor or at the threshold, something fell in the Bible. We see Dagon falling and at the threshold of the temple, his arm, his hands and his head was cut off. The threshold is the place of testing, is the place of stumbling. Every time somebody enters into an open door, they just see an open door, but they don't see the time of testing that is about to take place just before they enter that door that is open. Are you guys with me? And I'm just pushed for time, so I want to rush through this. So the number four, if we look at just what the number four means, the number four simply means global. I'm not going to get into it, but there are four elements. There are four regions. There are four seasons. There are four lunar cycles. There are four divisions of the day. There are four divisions of the man, which means that the number four is a shift, a seasonal shift and a global shift. But I want you to remember double. Say with me, double. Because remember, there's two fours in 2024. So it means of a global shift that is going to take place. We understand the elections of the US. That's going to change a lot of things. That's going to shift things between Russia and that's going to shift things between China. And I'll get into that a bit more tonight and so on. Or the New Year's Eve, we'll see what is happening. But there's going to be a shaking. There's going to be a season change. It's going to be marked by certain things that's going to happen that I'll speak on later. So 84, the number 84 simply speaks about this. It means to speak so that doors can shift you into another realm. It means to speak so that another dimension and season can come upon your life. It means to speak so that you can enter into another season. So it represents of speaking of doors to open. It's speaking of an entryway into a new dimension. It is fulfillment of prophecy. It is seasons that are shifting, that are changing through prophecy. It means creative miracles. Whenever the number falls, there's creativity. Prophecy in your mouth to shift your season. The decade before this one was Ayin, you saw, now you are in the decade of speaking of the mouth. So you saw, now you speak to enter your inheritance. So you speak what you have seen. It is a door where the rich enters alone to give in the temple. And it is a door where the poor enters alone to receive and being in the temple. It is a season where you will reap financial harvest like never before. It is a season and a year of sowing and reaping. It's very important. Now listen to this. What are the conditions of 5784 of this year we are entering to? Go with you to Psalm 84. Psalm 84. I'm rushing a little bit because I want to get the revelation through to you. Are you guys with me? And I'm just checking the time. Last second, it's good time. And like I said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to minister to many, but we're going to do that. We're going to do that tonight. Don't miss tonight. Come and celebrate with us. All you that only like to come on the morning service. Is there rugby again or not? Or what? Is there rugby again? Where's the rugby again? Huh? 3 o'clock or something. Well, don't even watch that. Just come. Okay. What's rugby? You begin to get old and you realize. Anyway, make money, serve God. Stop watching sports. You know. I can preach on sports, but I won't. I can preach on the agenda of sports. So, Psalm 84. Listen to this. So, I take the 84th chapter. Are you guys with me? Let's see what the context of this Psalm 84 is. It says, how lovely is your tabernacle, the church, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, and it even faints for your courts, O Lord. My soul longs for your church. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home in the church, and a swallow has a nest for herself in the church. Why do I say the church? You'll hear now. Where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, in the church. Verse 4. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. So if you dwell, not visit, but those who are planted in the house of the Lord. Those who said, I chose to push my roots deep into a place. There's a blessing that comes to you. It is the blessing of Dalet that comes to you when it comes to 5, 7, 8, 4. Are you guys with me? Blessed are those who dwell in your house. Now listen to this. They will still, say with me, still be praising you. The word still means that doesn't matter if they've gone through hell or what has happened or there has been wars around them, they are still praising you because their roots is dwelt in the house of the Lord, is planted and established and rooted deep. So blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Verse 7, go through verse 7. Listen to this. They go from, so with his strength to strength. Each one appears before God where? In Zion, in the church. So it is in the church where you go from strength to strength, faith to faith, anointing to anointing, power to power, glory to glory. Are you guys with me? And he goes on, he says, O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. O God, behold our shield. Give and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts, for one day in your courts, one day in your church is better than 1,000. I would rather, listen to this, be a doorkeeper. Say with me, a doorkeeper. Remember that. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord of God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. We preach in grace because the glory will come. No good thing will He withhold. Say, no good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly, O Lord of hosts. Blessed is the man who trusts in you. Now listen to this. Now I want us to get a little bit deeper. The only time the number 84 is in scripture. Remember doorkeeper. So if you're doorkeeper. The only time 84 is in scripture. Go through to Luke 2 verse 36. Luke 2 36. Now listen to this. Now there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband seven years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years. So with the 84 years, who did not depart from the temple. She was a doorkeeper. She did not depart from the temple. She did not depart from the church, but served God with fastings and prayers, night and day. And coming in that instant, so this instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of Him to all those who looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. Listen here, she was a doorkeeper for 84 years. She stayed and waited in the temple, the doorkeeper in the house of God. She said like David, I will rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. The tents were palaces. So this is a year to be planted. So with you planted in the house of the Lord. Now there's going to be many blessings that is going to come, and I'm going to show you now. So she was planted, and what did she do? She fasted, she prayed, and she sought the Lord. Are you guys with me? Let me get to the 84th verse of the Old Testament. So I touched on where the number 84, let's say the 84th verse in the Old Testament. 84th verse in the Old Testament is, Abel also brought forth the firstborn. Genesis, put on Genesis 4 verse 4. Genesis 4 verse 4. Listen to this. Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock, the firstfruit, and their fat. Just that phrase, and their fat, I can preach on. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. So what is Abel doing? He's coming like the rich man into the door, bringing the right offering and the fat, which means even the abundance of his offering or the abundance of his blessing. Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry. And his countenance fell. So the Bible says, 5784 saying that the season is of sowing and reaping. It's a season of giving your best. To focus, it's where our focus will be, that the first fruits will be our blessing. And where our tithe is our first fruit, where our tithe becomes first. A lot of people's tithe is lost. When it becomes first, it carries the blessing. Your sacrifice will be of praise and worship and giving of yourself and everything, money, finances. But it is a sacrifice and an offering that you will bring. In the New Testament, let's look at the 84th verse of the New Testament. 84th verse of the New Testament, Matthew 4:20. Matthew 4:20. I'm almost finished. I don't want to pray for you. So I want this revelation to drop. Matthew 4:20. They immediately, some of you immediately, left their nets and followed him. That is it. So he's saying, whatever I've told you to do, they have immediately obeyed instruction. And they did it instantly. What did Anna the prophetess do? The Bible says, at an instant, she did it. At an instant, she obeyed and listened. Come on, are you guys with me? Meaning that there's an immediate obedience that takes place. I don't think you can get more clearer than that. God is saying, I want you to drop everything. It says, immediately they left their nets. They dropped everything and they followed him. God is looking for an immediate response, but he's looking for a people that is saying, God, I will give everything. I will drop everything. I will drop everything. If it means to, but I must follow you. If it means that I must give you my life. If it means that I'll enter the call of God for my life. I have to drop everything. When God calls you, he will even require you to drop your family. The first mention of the door in the Bible. Are you guys with me? But where is that in scripture? Oh, Abraham, leave your father's house. And go to a land that I will show you. A land that I will tell you. But leave your father's house. Because there's a greater call. And you are a father of many nations. Not a son of... Okay, are you guys with me? Listen to this. Genesis 4 verse 7 is the first mention of door in the Bible. It says, if you do well, you will not be accepted. Will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you, but you shall rule over it. Are you guys with me? You shall rule over it. He was prophesying about grace. Romans chapter number 6 verse 14, where it says that grace has dominion over sin. Grace has rule over sin. Why do we preach the message of grace? So that people can have dominion over their sin. The last mention of the door in the Bible is Revelation 4:1. Revelation 4:1. After these things, I looked and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice came and it came and says, come up here and I will show you things which must take place after this. And the Lord said to me, there'll be a place and a year of ascension. And my people will be able to see what will happen in the years to come. But destinies will be revealed and purposes will be revealed. Are you guys with me? So what are the conditions? And I want to get to the revelations. So what are the conditions to reap in 5784? The conditions is that I must be planted in a local church. I will sow, then I will reap. There must be an immediate response. I must speak the word that is in my mouth. I must prophesy the word that is in my mouth. I must be a doorkeeper in the house of God. I must fast and pray and seek the Lord. And I must be watchful at the door that sin doesn't rule over me, but that I rule over sin by grace. What is the promise to receive in 5784, 2024? What is the promises? And remember, if we say 5784, we have just passed over into it 2 days ago. Are you guys with me? That is according to God's calendar, new year has already begun. So 5784, the promises to receive is that you will reap a harvest. You will reap financially where you have not sown. Are you guys with me? All the blessings I read in Psalm 84, where I said that your soul would want this, and you'll see the blessings here, and this is what's going to happen. All the blessings in Psalm 84, all the blessings in Psalm 1, where the Bible says that when you're like a tree planted by the rivers, deep-rooted, you will be a blessed man. You'll be fruitful. Your leaf will not wither. I don't know if you guys are with me. Your fruit will not go out of season, but you'll be fruitful in season and out of season. What happens when you are planted as a tree by the rivers, when you are established in a local church? Those blessings will come upon you. But there's something called double. Say with me, double. Go Isaiah 54 verse 1. Isaiah 54 verse 1. Listen to this. Sing, O barren, you who have not born. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Sorry, I'm in the wrong verse here. Sorry, 45 verse 1. I'm like, this is a curse I'm about to read. Let me read 45 verse 1. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus. How many of you are anointed? Whose right hand I have held to subdue nations before him. How will he subdue nations? Listen to this next verse. And loose the armor of kings, to open before him the double doors, so that the gates will not be shut. Say with me, double doors. Now, this is what it means. Listen to me. Double doors is not what you think it means. Okay, it's not a door like this. Double doors means a double strengthening that Babylon has put into place where they could not get into, so they double strengthened the doors. And he said, I will anoint you, Cyrus, to break open the double doors so that the gates will not and never be shut. What is the gates? It is the gates of heaven. It means that the gates of prosperity and the gates of financial blessing will not be shut when you have the anointing to destroy double doors. Meaning that this year, there'll be a year where they'll be anointed to destroy double doors. But now let's go deeper. What is double doors? The word doors in Hebrew speaks of the jaws of a crocodile or a serpent. Are you guys with me? The word doors in the Hebrew speaks of the jaws of a crocodile or a serpent. So let's go to Job 41 verse 14. So it means jaws. Say with me, door, 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 double doors. Are you getting it? Okay. So Job 41 verse 14. Who can open the doors? In the Hebrew, it is the jaws of his face with his terrible teeth, open jaws all around. Another translation says, around his open jaws and teeth, there is terror all around. Are you guys with me? So what is he speaking? He's speaking about Leviathan. Let's go to Isaiah 27 verse 1. Isaiah 27 verse 1. Isaiah 27 verse 1. In that day, the Lord will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent. What is door? It is the mouth, the jaws of a crocodile or a serpent. It says, in that day, the Lord will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent, the double door, with his fierce and great and mighty swords. Where's the sword of the Lord? The mouth that is in, the word that is in your mouth. Because out of his mouth came a double-edged sword. The Bible says, a flaming sword of fire, a double-edged sword. For the word of God is sharper than any double-edged sword. It pierces spirit and soul, bone and marrow. Are you guys with me? So as you speak and as you prophesy and you speak what God says, and as God is speaking, you are speaking, you have the ability to pierce through double doors, and you have the ability to break the jaws of the enemy. He will have his fierce and great and mighty sword, rescuing Israel from an enemy. Even Leviathan, the twisted serpent, and he will kill the dragon who lives in the sea. For the Lord is saying, I am releasing a Cyrus anointing upon my people, kings and priests, kings with a crown, priests with a diadem upon their heads. And they will open up where treasures of darkness was hidden, and they'll break the jaws of Leviathan. Come on, are you guys with me? Keep standing, keep standing. Go to 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17, verse 34. Lasko ebreke redonoske teke de labaya. 1 Samuel 17. So the Lord said to me, that this year tell my people, I'll give them an anointing if they are planted in the house of the Lord. If they understand the principle of sowing and reaping, to break through any double door, any jaw, any teeth, any fang that has bitten and held against their businesses, against their lives, against their families. And I'll give them an anointing to break it open. I'll give them anointing to smash it in. But the anointing is locked up in their mouth by the speaking of the word of God. And how much better to be in a prophetic church where you know how to prophesy and you even know what prophecy is. And you can prophesy the word of the Lord. So 1 Samuel 17 says this, but David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it. I struck it and delivered it from its mouth. Another translation is, I struck it and delivered the lamb from the jaw of the lion. I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Job 29:17. Quick with the verses, please. Job 29:17. I broke the fangs of the wicked. Say with me, I broke the fangs of the wicked and plucked the victim from his teeth. It's the anointing of Cyrus. It's the anointing of double doors. Psalm 58 verse 6 says, break their teeth in their mouth, O God. Break out the fangs of your young lions. Break open the jaws of the enemy and remove their fangs, that their bite is harmless. Judges 15 verse 15. Judges 15 verse 15. What am I giving you? I'm giving you a promise. Are you guys with me? Judges 15 verse 15. He found a fresh, say with me, a fresh jawbone of a donkey, reached out his hand and took it, and killed 1,000 men with it. Then Samson said, with the jawbone of a donkey, with a weapon of the enemy that came against me, with the jaws of a crocodile, with the jaws of a serpent, with the jaws of the enemy that tried to speak and accuse me, with the jaws of a crocodile that bit me and twisted around me, and it felt like finances was not possible, or it felt like breakthrough was not coming. By that jawbone that the enemy wanted to kill me, I slew 1,000, heaps upon heaps, and I have slain 1,000 men, says Samson. Say with me, heaps upon heaps. I prophesy you will see heaps upon heaps this year. Heaps upon heaps when it comes to finances. You will see your enemy slain 1,000 by your one side, 10,000 by your other side. And the Lord is saying, I'll cause you to do it with the word in your mouth and the weapon that the enemy has tried to use against you. For there'll be a year of victory and a year of breakthrough. Come on, give him a praise offering.